Hello, welcome to episode number 281 of the Apple Podcast. I'm your host, Simon Head. Today's podcast is brought to you in part by AIXDSP.com. Get affordable and useful plugins. Get the IC Intuition Compressor. It's a compressor that gives you a clear and intuitive visual display that shows exactly what is happening to your audio at all times. Short story, it's a good plugin and you will like it. Click the link in the description for more information. Thank you, everybody, for shopping on Amazon supporting the show. You, too, can do the same thing by going to applelog.ca/Amazon or applelog.ca/US Amazon. You can do it the old-fashioned way by going to applelog.ca and click on those banners located on the right side. Locate your country, whether you're from Canada, United States, or the UK, and bookmark all those links. Every time you shop on Amazon, use those links to shop and support the show, and it costs you no extra money. Support my work on Patreon by going to patreon.com/applelog. You can pledge as much or as little as you want on a monthly basis to help with hosting and gas fees, and you can cancel at any time. Buy a t-shirt, applelog.ca/shop. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and view the show on iTunes. Give it 5 stars, please. Like and share on Facebook by going to facebook.com/applelogpod. And follow me on Twitter at SimonHead666. Today on the show, I have the band Oakhearts. I have two members of it, and I am going to completely butcher their last names. I believe it's Danielle Abboud and Dan Cesare, but I could be wrong. They just released a new record on Little Rocket Records called Triangles and Squares, and it's an EP. You'll see all about the band on the in the description of the podcast. Thank you so much for everybody for listening to the show. It's been a weird summer, but we're going to get through it because it's last day of summer is pretty soon. I think it just happened. Everybody, without further ado, Danielle and Dan from the band Oakhearts on the Applelog Podcast. No, I've never owned one of those sweaters.
No?
No, man. No, never. So it's good to meet you, Dan and Daniel. I've started, by the way. Oakhearts. Band since 2000 and what team? When? How long have you guys been a band for?
Daniel and I started writing songs in 2017, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All band took place. Well, but we started in February and we got members around July, played our first show in September of that year. And first record came out in 2018, though, in December.
Yeah. So you guys have been a relatively new band. Did you come from other bands? Or are you always been, is this your sort of first real band, I guess?
No. We've been in bands our whole life, but we never had the chance to be touring bands or mostly local heroes bands. if you can say it like that, but
I've known Daniel and Matt, our bass player, for the last 15 years, I would say. We were playing in local bands and playing together often. And we met like that. We just kept in touch over the years. And I don't know. I had a bunch of songs and I wrote to Daniel, hey, you want to come back to music?
Well, and I had stopped music for something like 5 years-ish. In that period of time that I stopped having bands, going into shows and everything,
you kind of disappear.
Disappeared.
Playing poker online. And,
yeah, I was trying stuff. Well, at some point I kept in touch with Dan. Maybe 3 years.
3 years prior, yeah.
Yeah, three years prior.
We were supposed to start a band.
He was a tour manager of Miracles with Hugo Muti and some...
Fred from the St. Catharines?
Yeah, some people of the St. Catharines. I went to Quebec alone, my car. I just needed some rock and roll. And we ended up like drunk as fuck, me and Dan, sitting on the sidewalk, sitting in the Quebec City on the sidewalk, chatting about starting a band. And
it just never happened.
Because when we came back to Montreal, we were supposed to jam or something, and I was going to a Montreal Canadian game, and at Bell Center, and Dan was at a show at that time, and was it?
Yeah, it was a Streetlight Manifesto show, and he called me. He's like, "Hey, man, Daniel, I want to come and meet you." I'm like, "What the fuck is that? I can't hear you. Fuck you."
Oh, yeah.
And he hung up, and we didn't talk for 3 years.
Yeah.
And then we started the band.
Yeah.
So the band's been around for like 7 years now.
Yeah. And so that's how you started writing songs and just found people to play with?
Well, I had a couple of songs, and then I went to him, and I'm like, "Hey, I have these songs you want to play just for fun, just recording, no shows, nothing." And he's like, "I got a bunch of songs too. They've been there for 3 years now."
Yeah.
And
because you know, I wasn't playing in bands and playing shows, but I you know, I'm a musician. You know, I never stopped playing music.
Yeah.
So. when Dan he just on Messenger sent me a riff. "Hey, I got this riff, you want to start a band?" And this riff was a killer, and I said absolutely. And
I think it was an old song.
Yeah, it's
just
that song is on
the chorus.
Yes, it's on our first record. It's people do what they do. Yeah. That's the very first song that all started this whole cards thing. Yep. And
pretty boring.
No, man, it's how all bands are started. It's usually a lot of drinking and
drunk.
And it's like, you know what, I don't like the band I'm in anymore. And then the other guy goes, "Me too." Then the other guy goes, "Well, let's start a band together." And then years go by, and then that happens. I mean, it is a bit of a classic tale that happens. And, as a musician, you know, I get it. You know, there's a time in life where you're like, you know, it's time to actually start doing things. You know, I didn't really get started doing that until I was in my 30s, you know? So, and this was just 20 years ago now, but there was a time when I said, this is it, I'm going to make a go of it. And now is the time to do it, because everything is just so technically good now for bands. People can make a record at their house. They can put it out with a pretty good label. And, you know.
I think it's good and it's not good at the same time. Everything is so it's so accessible for everyone. So it's kind everything gets in have the dark web in mind, but you know, the invisible web.
Easy.
Every band releases stuff in the invisible web, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so
world wide web.
Yeah. So you know, ladies, it's hard to music is not about music anymore. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. People, you need to have the videos that always renewing content. Yeah.
It's not easy to put your mark on the board, but I think also us, we started the band that was almost 30, Dan's a bit older than me. Daniel,
yeah,
a bit older than me, 2 years. But he was in early 30s. And the minding is not the same as if we had done this like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, the minding is not the same. We don't want to tour every fucking day. I have a kid.
Yeah,
now,
we're doing this, no pressure.
It's just no pressure. We just want to record, put our music out, have fun together.
Absolutely.
Have a couple beers in the jam space and just, you know, it's just fun to create all together.
Yeah, some people spend their money on vacations. We like to spend money on studios and going around the province of Quebec, drinking in bars and having fun with people playing music. Yeah, you know.
Well, there is something to be said being a little bit older and wiser, is that you put into perspective what music actually is and where it fits in your life. Because when I was in my early 20s, I wouldn't even consider having a basement that I could do podcasts in, or having recording gear, or having a kids and family. That to me was the last thing on my mind. But I always like talking to people like you guys who have sort of understand what music is. It's not about, obviously, about becoming famous. It's about creating something and giving it to people and them and enjoying it. And that, you can't ask for a better, to me though, that to me outweighs sort of like having a good social media presence and being sort of like active that way. Because I still think it comes back to music. I still think eventually it comes back to music, where the music is good. The music stands on its own, but you have to play that game, the social media game. I get that part. But it's about
music.
I think
the media part, as I see it, the media part, when I'm posting on the web or whatever, I try to see it as a, you know, those older punk album booklets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were pictures of parties and collage and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of tend to my post to be as this, get to know the band as we are, and think you're our friends and be part of the party.
Yeah, because in the 90s, it was a time when bands were really breaking out in punk rock, obviously in the early 90s, and people didn't know what to do, you know, in punk rock. People were kind of like, I think... You know, there was a lot. It's funny you talk about the record with all the collages, the pictures, and they're all put together.
You know, it was just all about, this is who we are. This is what we have to offer. And we're not, you know, this is my friend puking on this picture.
Yeah.
I'm just like you. We're partying, and we don't have like pretty clothes to show off.
This
is who we are. You like the sound. Don't look at my face.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting thing you'd say that too, because I found that in Canada, there's a lot of image-based music, and around that time, around the late 90s and early 2000s, it was like, if you're of a certain age, you could not get any sort of traction on music TV or anything like that. It was very image-based, and when I put out records in the early 2000s, went to Europe, people don't care what it looked like in Europe. They don't, you know, they don't. Yeah. And that's okay, you know, and
they
think
they just want to bang their fucking heads.
Yeah, and I think North America has come around a little bit, where it's like, it's not really, doesn't matter how pretty you are, it's like how good your song is now. And I hope that becomes a trend based on just the art rather than what your image is or how important your social presence is. And you know, and I, you know, listen, you know, like I saw those live videos on YouTube, the live video, there's one live video. It's phenomenal. Whoever did that did a great job, you know, and.
The audio is with our partner in crime all the time, Ryan Battistuzzi.
Yeah.
He's a sound engineer, producer here in Montreal, and he is a good friend of mine, of ours.
Yeah.
And he just catches the vibe, and he's so sweet to work with. It's no pressure.
Yeah.
If it's not going well, you will never know. He won't let you know. And that's a great quality, I like.
Yeah.
But so he did the sound for this, and that's a studio where he works sometimes. And he knows the board, he knows the gear there, so he knew exactly how to make us sound like, it sounds clean, but it's dirty at the same time. It sounds live. So
yeah,
and the guys on camera,
were playing so loud in that room. Yeah, it was
crazy loud.
Yeah,
it's a big brick room, right? Yeah, it would be a loud room.
I sometimes couldn't even hear the drums. We were so loud.
Yeah,
we were.
If it
so
would
loud.
Have been a bar show, the soundman would have.
Oh yeah,
they just cutting all the mics.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I remember when we started this live session, I was asking, should we put the mic here and there? And Ryan looked at me right in the eyes and told me, I know your vocals. Do it as I'm telling you. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, we got this. We got this.
Yeah. Yeah, Ryan is really direct in his approach. Well, with me though, he knows that I'm the kind of guy who argues, so he leaves me no room to. I know what I'm doing, Dan. Stop it. Shut it.
So. Well, yeah, in that case, too, when time is limited, you have to rely on that person that's putting all that shit together for you because you should worry. Yeah, and in those situations, you need to worry about the playing part and then let the people who do the technical thing worry about that stuff.
It's
hard when you've been working with nothing all your life and now you have those great people surrounding you.
Yeah.
And they're your friends. So yeah. It's just like, let me do it, buddy.
Yeah, okay. For sure. Okay. And things have gone so much further with stuff like that. Like you have 5K video cameras that are this big.
Yeah.
And just the technology has really caught up to make normal people make great images, you know, like, it's fantastic. Like I just purchased a 360 degree camera and I'm just fucking around with this thing. It's like, oh my God, I put it on stage and then it looks like a drone's flying around the stage when I was doing it. It's like, oh my God. And I'm a schlep. I have no idea really what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it makes it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the guy who did the videos, the filming and everything, they are working in the,
they're in the business.
They're in the business. They're old friends of ours, so
they have good equipment. Yeah,
they didn't want our money. We're like, no, it's okay. We're like, well, at least take. I don't know. You guys are three guys. We'll take $300. I don't know. We're like, no, I don't need it. But,
yeah.
He said no. He said no about the money, and he took it. And in the end, but I poured it. Yeah, at the end of that shooting day, I had hidden the money in my pocket on my chest, and I hidden it in my hand. So when we had that last handshake, I said thank you, and $300 was. In his hand, he looked at me. He looked at me.
The guys did,
and started to laugh so loud and said, "Thank you, Dan."
yeah. So you guys are doing a 4-song EP. It's I heard it. It's I love that last song. It's long. It's a long song.
It's long.
Very long song.
We like to play long songs. we like to just play instrumentals and make noise and whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we compose in our practice place, we usually start by playing a riff like 20 minutes long, and we bring it up and down, and you know we deconstruct
parts of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's try to do it again.
It's just natural for us to have a long musical up and downs, and so that song is
that's kind of reflecting what's happening in jazz space.
Yeah. exactly. Merci.
Well, I hear a lot of influences that are pretty awesome. You know, you're wearing a Jester Brazil shirt. I absolutely. That type of 90s emo music is, I'm doing the quotes, you know, but that's the stuff I grew up with, you know, obviously, you know, it's just, you know, Sensefield, Semi-Am, all that type. Oh my God, there you go. You must have, I didn't even see the hat. No, but you guys really remind me of stuff that I sent it to. I used to play in a band, and we sort of came up in their late 90s, and I sent it to the guy I was in a band with, and your stuff, because it's very, very attuned to that vibe. That
that's
it's
the music we always liked and grew up on. But you know, Daniel was playing in a ska punk band.
Yeah, that's when I met him. That's where I started.
It's okay. We can still talk. We can still talk. You know.
But he's the one who, at the same time, introduced me to Jawbreaker and Jesse Brazil.
Yeah.
And I was playing in punk bands, more sounding more like, I don't know, like Small Brown Bike stuff. And
yeah.
And but I never went in that side of my influences. And when we got together, it was just natural.
Yeah.
You know, at first, when we wrote our first songs, we were like, yeah, it'd be great to have something that sounds like the Weaker Tent. Mm-hmm. We then found nothing like the Weaker Tent.
Exactly.
But you see where it all came from. This. It was like, we like mid-90s,
yeah,
late 90s emo punk rock. That's what influenced us, and grunge music and Sonic Youth, Nirvana. Mm-hmm. We didn't grow up on Nirvana, you know?
Yeah. I used to play in a band with Jason Tate back in the 90s, yeah, out of Winnipeg, a band called Red Fisher. And
I sound like a third one. Who's Jason?
drummer from Weaker Thans.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, we played in a band, early band, like in the early 90s. And John K. Sampson was from Propagandhi, and that's sort of the time where I moved to Winnipeg for a little while, and I joined this band, Red Fisher, and Jason ended up being, yeah, with John Sutton, who is also in the Weaker Thans. Very, very dear friend. John was my roommate in Winnipeg, so I know those guys very, very well. Good dudes.
Where are you based now?
I'm just outside of Toronto. I'm okay. About an hour and a bit outside of Toronto. Yeah, yeah. But we lived in the city for a long time. When Weaker Thans came to mix Fallow, that first Weaker Thans album, they stayed in our apartment when they mixed it.
Did you hear the first mix?
Yeah, I heard early mixes. They used our little cassette player for reference, like our little cassette stereo to hear the mixes on cassette. Kind of gives you an idea how long ago it was. Holy shit, that was a long time ago. 20-something years ago now. 22, 20-something years ago. Yeah, yeah. So so your music sort of hold.
Oh, that's 96.
Yeah, right? Well, no, that record came out around 98. 'Cause the
98?
Yeah, around 98, 99. Yeah. And then they were a three piece for a long time. And then Steve Carroll joined, I think in like, I want to say 99, 2000 ish, but, great fucking band. Too bad.
Yeah.
John Kay isn't doing much anymore, but, that's a great band. I mean, did you see that there's a tribute album to the Weaker Thans?
I didn't.
There's a bunch of bands put together a tribute to the Weaker Thans. And it's pretty awesome, actually. It's really, really good. It's out to raise awareness for mental illness. So it's a benefit. Great. Yeah, it's great. But back to you guys. Triangles and Squares, first song on this album. Can we listen to it?
Yep.
You want to listen to it?
Yeah. We'll be right back. Oh yeah, here we go.
He's an amazing guy. He's the one who got us on the label because I met him. That's the story. If you're asking about how we ended up on a UK label.
Yeah.
I met Graham years ago.
Yeah.
He's a song dog.
What's his last name?
Phyllis Kirk.
Yeah, I've had him on my show, actually. Then I have had him on the show from his band, the band he had with Hugo.
Meditation.
Yeah.
I met him because I was tour manager for St. Catharines.
Oh, okay.
And I had to take care of Graham while he was in the city.
Really? So,
I did tour the whole Montreal with him, went to restaurant, became friends, and then I went to the studio while they were recording.
Yeah.
So we just glued together. That's how I met him, and that's how we ended up on the label. I sent him demos when we first started.
Actually, Dan was the
replacement. I played a tour. I did a tour in the UK with Meditation.
Oh, okay,
replacing Fred, the original guitar player.
Yeah. No, that was a few years ago now. But yeah, I'm so fascinated about how like a label like Little Rocket Records can put out so many goddamn records and not be like broke. It's fantastic.
Well, he's
we're paying a lot on our part, you know,
for the recording. We're paying for most of the shit. You pay for the records for
the prints,
for the first one, the prints and everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a kind of 50-50 deal, you know. We do our stuff.
You doing vinyl?
Well, we didn't, but This one is the first EP.
Yeah.
We're working on the second one right now, which is almost done. And we had a full record, 15 songs.
Yeah, we couldn't afford to play. Yeah. We just couldn't afford to go into the studio and record 15 songs and put it out on vinyl. You know, it's like almost like a 10K, almost 10K project. So we just decided to split it up in three EPs.
But the third one is going to come out with the first two ones together on a vinyl.
Yeah,
so you're going to have the whole
last part. The last part of it will be.
So you get the old songs and the new stuff, which makes the old thing.
Well, somebody told me that there used to be like three pressing plants that did like primarily punk rock stuff, and like one of them closed. So all of a sudden there was like two. So it's like trying to get, because we're actually playing a band called the Fairmounts, and we're trying to get our vinyl done, and it's like,
well,
it's impossible to find a place to do it. We found a place, I think.
There's like two or three new places in Quebec.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I'm looking at prices everywhere. So, you know, comparing with shipping and everything and the cost. And
what
they offer, the quality. But if we can do it in Quebec, for sure, we'll save on shipping.
Absolutely. Yeah.
A lot of fucking money, and you don't do it in fucking Russia or USA, so you save on the border.
Yep. Yeah.
And we'll try to do that, but you know, it's we told ourselves we're taking like a year and a half to make this whole project, you know, three EPs, the full one.
Yeah. We both know targets are never meant. Never.
Yeah. No. No, it makes sense.
So it is a year and a half. We will probably end up in like 2 years.
Well, yeah. I mean, honestly, if there's no rush, why bother? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. You know, it's fucking cover.
Yeah. And plus, it gives you longer to write new songs.
Well, the whole record is already done.
It does exist, but we're taking more time reworking part by part.
Exactly.
So,
COVID's
kind of fun.
COVID's fun. That's a quote.
No, but it's kind of fun for this. You know, it gives us time. We don't feel rushed or whatever.
Yeah.
The excitement of let's do the whole thing. We could do that, but that's a lot of fucking money.
Yeah. Well, for the joke with my band is that we were going to do our record in 2 days, and that was 2 years ago. So we're not ready. It's not ready yet.
It's 2 days.
2 days. We were not punk enough. But I was like, no, we're gonna punk this out. We're gonna have that whole record done in 2 fucking days. And it was like a 2-day record, and that everything now is a 2-day record. It's like our quote. But like literally we're doing like we got to drums and maybe bass. And then that's in 2 days. And it was like, oh, shit, what are we going to do? So we ended up peacemaking this thing over the period of like 8 months. We finally got something done. And then it took a year to get it pressed. So, you know.
Is it out now?
No.
No?
Nope.
Are you doing it yourself?
No, it's coming out on a label in the States.
Are you recording the band? Mixing and everything.
Yeah, I did everything but master it. We got Stefan from All to master it, or Descendants to master it. And then, so I got it to that point. And then Stefan, he's a very old friend of mine. He's the guy that makes it good. And he masters for vinyl, which is a different type of system that I don't know about. So, yeah.
We're mastering with Sunroom, which is Dan Kuta. He works a lot with Jay Robbins.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I was just looking at mastering plans of people, and I was like, I'll send him a message, just see, compare the prices.
Yeah.
Well, it was so cheap.
Yeah. No, and not plus... cheap,
but you know, the guy has a crazy alumni project he worked on, and that's not expensive at all.
No, and you're going right to the source. That's kind of like, you know, working with like whoever worked with Jay Robbins. That's you can't ask for a better person who knows your music better than that.
Yeah,
man. Fuck. No, it's a great record, and I want to hear another song. You know what I'm going to do? We're going to balls out. We're going to play this 13-minute and 48-second banger, Tears and Disasters.
You build a castle, rolling sound.
I recorded some Rise. Remember the band Rise?
Yeah.
I recorded some stuff out of Padgett's house, and I used my van as an isolation booth for a guitar amp. So the guitar amp was in the back alley, and the guy's fucking playing around. You know, remember the highway, right? The highway behind his place? and all you're, and I was in my house, in Padgett's place, recording with Patrick Gay, Gui, Patrick, Patrick, fucked up your last name, but he also played in Rise for a while. I have a pretty, I love Montreal. I almost moved there once, actually, I think in mid-90s I was going to move there. And I didn't move, but rent was always cheap. There's always cool people there. There's the BivTech. That's all you needed, right?
Yeah, well, Montreal's pretty cool, you know. If you hang around in Montreal, but if you have your professional life in Montreal,
you just don't give a shit.
Yeah,
that's the same for everyone. I love to go to Toronto.
It's traffic every time. It's I live in the eastern part of Montreal, and it takes me less time to go to Shawinigan than to the downtown Montreal.
Shawinigan is like stuff. 2 hours ago. 2 hours away.
It's so much traffic, and
Well, I haven't been there in a while, but I always had good times I can't remember the last time. It's a beautiful city. There's always just like obviously when we were there to hang and do shows, and we were gonna play Pussy Fest and then it didn't happen somehow. But Matt Gagnon is kind of a buddy, so from Pussy Fest. So
Stump.
Yeah, Matt Gagnon.
Yeah.
He's a good dude. And I met him in Montebello Rockfest when I was doing a little tour with the Descendants. And he is just a great dude. I remember I went there with Good Riddance a couple of years after, and Korn was on that tour, on that show. Oh, and he was just there. Bitched at Korn because they were wanting oxygen tanks and he was...
When Korn played Heavy Montreal, I had a friend, they asked him, like, we need one volunteer. He's like, me? Why? So he had to drive the singer from Korn all day in the golf cart around. not the singer, the Christian guy. The guy, you know, the guy, Monkey? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, the guitar player. Christian? Yeah. The guitar player? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had to drive him all around the festival all day in the golf cart.
Oh, my God.
Like, he's talking to me about Jesus all the time.
Well, that same night, Bad Religion was playing, and I got to see Bad Religion, like, you remember the aisle at Montebello? They had, like, right down the middle from the stage to the mixing booth, the mixing board. I sat and watched Bad Religion. Like, they were, like, right in front of me. I got to see Brooks Wackerman play Bad Religion songs, which was, like I'd never seen him really live before with Brooks. I've always been a Bobby Scherer guy myself. But when we tried to get on stage for Korn, they wouldn't let us on the stage because it's Korn's on stage. I said, what are you fucking talking about, man? I love Korn. I love Korn on the Cob. I love cream corn. I love corn flakes. What the fuck? Why won't you let me on the stage?
I like shepherd pie.
And he's like, dude, I can't let you on the stage. I'm like, but I love Korn. Korn's
you know, one year I was at Montebello with the St. Catharines.
Yeah.
And Limp Bizkit was playing. You know, there's those boats that takes you to the hotel.
Yeah.
You take the ferry. And I was with St. Catharines bass player, Pablo, which was our first bass player in the band.
Yeah.
Never did a fucking band practice, but he was.
He did one.
And Pablo was fucking drunk, and he's really tall, Spanish guy. And the guy was like, the ferry is reserved for Limp Bizkit. He's like, no, I'm the fucking monkey with the makeup. Come on. He started following the guy all around. He was like, okay, just take the ferry and leave. So Limp Bizkit had to wait.
Oh, that's funny. The ones I did didn't have the ferry. It was where the stage was on the other side. The stage was closer to the road.
The opposite.
Yeah. This is sort of in 2010 and 2000, oh, I think, yeah, and okay. 12 or something. Yeah,
2012.
Yeah.
Talking about 2015 for myself.
Yeah, because then they changed it. I think once Budweiser got on board, they did a lot of changing.
Yeah.
You know, with how, because I heard one year there was a big problem, big problems.
It didn't get better.
A
lot of changes, but it was shit.
Yeah. Anyway,
worst.
I remember watching Joey Cape play, and in behind was like this thrash metal band playing, which were so loud. They were going through Joey Cape's mics while he was playing his acoustic show. I was like, oh my God. He hated it. He was hating it so bad.
Sure, man. Joey's such a nice guy, but if when he gets pissed, you fucking know it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know it.
And the interesting, we had a merch guy with us, and Keebler, who actually worked for Propagandy. He was their merch guy for a long time.
Keebler, you used to live in Montreal.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, that's true.
My friend.
Yeah.
They were playing in a band called, what's the name? Hashtag.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
With Jean from, he played with Bionic and.
Oh, yeah. But Keebler had, because, you know, the merch booth, that merch area. So he counted in with everybody, and then when he counted out, the person that counted out with him was so wasted, they fucked up the count so bad that it's like, he just walked away, and I think he made more than what he brought. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think he just, yeah. So he's like, all right, I'm not doing anything. I'm gonna say.
That's kind of asshole, but you got to take advantage of it. You know, you have one job to do, so.
You count things. And you count money. Like, there was some big, weird shit going on with there. You know,
I went to get a check for a band I was tour managing for. And the guy, he's wasted. I'm texting him. I'm like, where are you? It's kind of small festival in town.
Yeah.
So it's like five, six bars. So, yeah, I'm at this place in Baxter. Okay, I'm coming. Don't move. So I reach him. He's like, I don't have the contract with him, with me, but... I ended up making like $400 more. I'm like, yeah, that's it. He gave me the money, cash.
Fuck.
I'm like, okay, guys, I made $400 more. You guys take three. I keep it. keep 100. That's fine.
Yeah. I used to work. I worked for Voivod for like one tour, and we went. Oh, yeah? We went did the Milwaukee Metal Fest. And we're doing it at this Eagles Ballroom, the very famous place. And it's where Jeffrey Dahmer used to pick up dudes and go them, like around the corner, where it's where he lived. It was from around the corner from the Eagles Ballroom. So we're doing it, and I kept looking for the promoter. I'm like, where's the fucking promoter? I can't find the promoter. And so I trace him down, and he said, oh, come to my car. I'm like... Okay, so here we go. I'm following him out, and I'm like expecting for him to bring a baseball bat out and just fucking beat my brains in or something. So he had all the cash. All the cash was in his car, like in the trunk of his car. So he pulled it out, and he's like throwing me like the bundles of money. Like, hey, there you go. Here's your fucking money, me. And I'm like, oh, okay, thanks. And I'm like picking it off the ground and like putting it in my pockets, going. Do I need to sign anything? He's like, no, get the fuck out of my face. I'm like, all right, okay. I'm all gone.
Right, buddy. All right, buddy.
Thanks, man. All right. But yeah, definitely. I've been a tour manager longer than I've been probably in bands for. But yeah, it's definitely a trip, man, to deal with certain things. I never tour managed SNFU, though. But So anyways, I gotta play one more song, and then we can... wrap this puppy up. I'm going to play Echoes because that was my favorite on the thing.
Yeah, dude.
So tell me about this song Echoes.
The song Echoes, this is actually the first song I wrote alone by myself when I quitted music like almost 10 years ago. And it was about I'm leaving this and I'm starting new. That's it.
Mm-hmm. I tried.
I remember that this was first written acoustically, and it was adapted for the whole card sounds. But I remember it was pretty hard playing that song at that time because music was all I had. You know, I pushed pretty hard in music when in my early 20s. I may not look like it, but I'll be turning 37 in a few months. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, in my early 20s, I gave up everything for music, singing in French with my band Les Midnights, and all I had was it was not even door shuts. It was open doors that slams in your face, you know. Mm-hmm. That's why I quit in music, because I realized that I didn't like that part of music. But with All Cards, what's fun, and I just worry about the music, and Dan is doing all the stuff that I used to do with my other bands. Mm-hmm. And he likes to do that shit, you know.
Think so?
Yeah. You've been voluntold.
You're pretty involved.
I don't like it. I don't hate it. It's just easy because I'm the big mouth and I know a lot of people. So
yeah,
I took that charge over me. So
well, definitely. And with bands, everybody needs to have a job. You know, otherwise. It's tough to everybody, one person doing all the work. It's really tough. I'll tell you that one firsthand.
Yeah.
I used to be the slacker in my older bands.
Yeah.
I used to be the huge slacker.
I had before, I was doing everything and it was a pain. And it's really cool to focus on what you have to do. I do mostly the music, the writing. He does most of the PR and the booking. Our bassman is keeping the cash records on Excel on the computer.
And it's just clear.
Mm-hmm.
You have two jobs to do: play, create the music, and keep your records on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's
yeah.
Yeah,
we're not putting any pressure on anybody. So,
no, and it's good that everybody pulls their weight, because nobody wants to be in a band with a guy who doesn't drive, or you know what I mean. Like,
we have one like that.
Kick him out! Kick him out! What does he play? Kick that fucker out!
He's a bass player. So.
He's a bass player.
Of course, Jesus Christ.
Or. Yeah, yes, it is.
Bass player. Can't even play with sick goddamn strings. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, I'm a bass player, so I get it. I really appreciate meeting you guys, and I hope it all goes well with you, because we need music like this in our lives, and we need to all take a breath and understand what's good in life, and that's, you know, it's good to hear you guys are, you know, carrying the flag, and it's punk rock, but it's not, but it's really good music, you know? So congrats.
It's just fun.
Yeah. That's important. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us.
And that was Dan and Danielle from the band O'Carts. Go check out Triangles and Squares. It's on Little Rocket Records. Awesome label. I forgot I had Graham on the show like 4 years ago, 3 years ago. It was quite a while ago. But yeah, Graham, let's get you back on the show. I've got every one of your bands on there. May as well get you back on the show again. And I remember because he had a Viking last name. So anyways, thanks for listening to the show, everybody. Thanks again. Nice to meet you, O'Karts. Nice to meet you, Dan and Danielle. I'm sorry, but I screwed up your last names. Of you. Yeah. Enjoy that podcast. Three songs. I like the one in the middle. It's like 12 minutes long. It's amazing. So what's happening? Not much. It's a nice day today. Life's good. Life's good. Just ate some full. Go check out O'Karts, and then go buy their album on Bandcamp. Go check all this stuff that's going to be in the description. You'll be able to figure it out. I'm lost for words. I don't have anything to say, so I'm not going to say anything. So anyways, have a great week, and I will probably see you next week. Okay, bye.